We are still trying to figure out the audio on our Facebook Live, and Beth is getting ready to start that. David, if you'll make sure that the recorder is on, and we are going to experiment. Again, we encourage you to pull up Facebook Live and check it out and see if the audio is coming across without an echo. That's what we're trying to eliminate. Are we ready? Well, let me welcome the folks on Facebook Live who might be joining us at this time, and we hope that this message is meaningful to you. Well, I'm sure that all of you, or most of you, have seen the movie Forrest Gump. It came out in 1994 and became the highest grossing film of that year, raising some $677 million, and $622 million of that was the profit that came after the cost of the production. It won 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director, and Best Actor, Tom Hanks. The movie's about a very simple-minded boy who becomes a superstar in just about everything that he does. And though he is simple-minded and doesn't understand many things, he clearly understands love. He loves his mother. He loves Jenny, he loves his good best friend, Bubba, and of course he loves Lieutenant Dan. But one of the more humorous scenes occurs when Forrest becomes a shrimp boat captain, and as he is bringing the boat in after being out and doing shrimping all day, he sees Lieutenant Dan sitting on the dock in his wheelchair, and he gets so excited, the boat is motoring along into the bay, that he starts waving, and then he jumps into the water and swims as fast as he can to get to Lieutenant Dan, and the boat continues on and disappears out of the scene. And he gets up on the dock, and he's talking to Lieutenant Dan. He's so excited to see him, and then all of a sudden, the boat reappears and crashes into the dock adjacent to them. It's a very funny, humorous scene. The movie is quite humorous as well. But the movie also tells us something about our scripture lesson this morning. The scene that we see in that movie is very similar to the scene we see in John 21. When the Apostle Peter realized that it was the resurrected Jesus standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he couldn't wait to get out of the boat and get to Jesus. Like Forrest Gump, his heart probably began pounding, and he became so excited that he immediately jumped into the water and swam as fast as he could to get to Jesus. When we realize that Jesus is truly resurrected and alive today, our hearts will pound as well, just like Peter's, and we will step out in faith to follow him with the same kind of energy and excitement that Peter had. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs and help us to experience what Peter experienced about your resurrection. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now, one of the phrases that we've all heard from time to time is this: come on in, the water is great. Basically, it means that we should not be afraid of the water being too cool or too murky or too choppy, but just perfect for swimming. Well, however, even after hearing such a phrase, most people are unwilling to jump in purely by faith. Instead, it seems much safer to dip a toe into the water first to check it out for ourselves. And even then, many of us will prefer to enter the water gradually rather than just jumping in like the Apostle Peter. Well, this story recorded in John 21 has been very familiar to me over the years, probably is to you as well. But this week, as I was preparing for this message, I discovered a few insights that I had not seen before, and I want to share them at this time. Now, this was the seventh time that Jesus had made a resurrection appearance. It was the third time that he had appeared before the disciples, and the fourth time that he had appeared to Peter himself. Well, John wrote this: Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, which of course is the same as the Sea of Galilee. Now, the word afterward is the key word to understanding the context of this story. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, the other women, the two disciples who were walking along on the Emmaus Road, to Peter himself, and finally to the disciples without Thomas. Now, as you know, Thomas did not believe when the disciples said that they had seen the resurrected Jesus. He said, "I won't believe it until I touch the nail holes in his side and on his hands." Well, 8 long days later, and that may have felt like an eternity, Jesus appeared to the disciples again with Thomas present. He told Thomas to stop doubting and to believe. And then we come to the word in the story, awkward. Afterward, not awkward, afterward. And scholars do not really know what that word means. Does it mean 3 or 4 days after that previous appearance? Did it mean 8 days or longer? Did it mean even longer than that? We don't know for sure. All scholars know is that the waiting time was so long that the Apostle Peter became impatient and impulsively decided to go out and begin fishing and take back his regular occupation of fishing. Now, here's the first spiritual insight. Even though Peter had an impatient, impetuous, and impulsive personality, Jesus chose him above all the others to become the rock, the foundation, the central leader to establish and to develop the church in the world. Now, what does that say to us? It's interesting that we often tend to criticize people whom Jesus loves and accepts. We tend to criticize and put down people who have impulsive personalities. But Jesus calls them, uses them, accepts them, and blesses them. So what are we to do? Well, it means that we are to have a whole lot more love in our lives, love like Jesus, and a whole lot less criticizing of people who are different from us. A wife invited some people to dinner, and at the table she turned to her little 6-year-old daughter, and she said, "Instead of Daddy giving the blessing, why don't you say the blessing for us, honey?" "Well, I don't know what to say, Mommy," she replied. "Oh, just say what you hear Mommy say," she answered. And so the daughter bowed her head and she put her hands together and she prayed what she had heard her Mommy say. "Oh, Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people I don't like to dinner?" Though we may not like all people, criticizing those whom Jesus loves is not what God desires. A second spiritual insight has to do with Peter, his brother Andrew, and his friends James and John. They were all fishermen, and they appeared to be partners in a fishing enterprise run by James and John's father, Zebedee. Now, many fishermen in the first century were so heavily taxed and burdened with Roman fees that it was hard for them to make much income. They barely got by in many cases. But those who pooled their resources together, who pooled their fishing businesses together, like we think Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and Zebedee, ended up doing much better. In fact, it appears that they had a lucrative and successful fishing business. How do we know? Because there are clues that we find scattered throughout the pages of the New Testament. For instance, Mark 1 tells us that they had so many hired servants working for them in their fishing enterprise that Peter and Andrew, James and John could all go off and leave the business and go spend time with Jesus, traveling the countryside, preaching and teaching. And the business would still not just survive, but thrive because Zebedee had so many hired servants. Luke 5 tells us 2 things. First, it tells us that they were all partners together in this fishing business. And secondly, it says that when they left to follow Jesus, they left everything. What does that mean? They left their $70,000 Triton boats, their 350 horsepower Mercury outboard motors, their Bruno knotless seine nets, their Shimano reels, and their St. Croix spinning rods. They left all of that. Now, those are expensive items. And obviously, they didn't have things like that back in that day, but they did have this. This is a picture of the remains of a boat that was found in 1986 on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And it is a boat very similar to what the disciples used when they went out and fished. Now today, that boat would look like this. A replica has been made and set up for tourists to see on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And as you can see, it's a large boat, 26 and a half feet long, 7.5 feet wide, and 4.5 feet deep. That's a large boat. It's not a Triton boat, but it was probably quite expensive in its day. And we know that Peter and Andrew, James and John and Zebedee may have had several of those boats and lots of equipment and hired hands, and so they probably had a lucrative fishing business. Finally, Matthew 27 gives us another clue. It tells us that there were several women of means, well-to-do women, who traveled with Jesus and the disciples, providing food and clothing and whatever it is they needed as they ministered to people around Galilee and other regions. Now, one of those women, according to Matthew 27, was Salome. Salome was the wife of Zebedee and the mother of James and John, and she was free to go and travel with them, and she must have had enough income and must have been well-to-do, had enough resources to provide what Jesus and 12 disciples needed as they traveled along. So those are clues that tell us that this fishing industry may have been somewhat lucrative. Now here's the second spiritual insight I want to share. When Peter, Andrew, James, and John gave up everything to follow Jesus, they were giving up comfortable, well-to-do lifestyles and stepping out into an unknown and an uncertain future. Jesus has called all of us to do the same. We are called to be his disciples, which means that he has called all of us to step out in faith, to give sacrificially, to share our resources generously, to be willing to suffer for the gospel, and to do everything we can to help build the church of Christ. Peter stepped out of the boat in faith once before in order to walk on the water toward Jesus. And he jumped out of the boat in faith, this time to swim to Jesus. Are you ready to do the same? Now I want to share a third and final spiritual insight. It has to do with what happened to Peter in and out of the boat. Now John tells us that enough time elapsed in waiting for Jesus to appear again, to make another resurrection appearance, that Peter got frustrated. And so he decided to go fishing. And it's possible he may have even considered going back to his lucrative occupation of fishing. Well, after staying up all night and catching nothing, the disciples must have been discouraged and exhausted. When the stranger on the shore said for them to throw their nets on the other side of the boat, they must have looked at each other and said, oh, what the heck, might as well. And so they threw their nets over, and when they began to bulge with the weight of fish, John suddenly remembered that the same exact thing had happened 3 years earlier. He looked up, recognized that it was Jesus, and he called out, "It is the Lord!" And when Peter heard John's exclamation, he sprung into action. He grabbed his tunic and wrapped it around him because it was not acceptable to greet another person in your undershorts. Ignoring the expensive catch of fish, he jumped into the water. He could not wait for the boat to get there, so he jumped into the water and he swam as fast as he could, just like Forrest Gump, in order to get to Jesus as soon as possible. He was so excited to see him that when the boat finally arrived, he ran over and he grabbed the net, which scholars say had somewhere between 300 to 400 pounds of fish in it, and pulled it up on the beach. It's amazing what we can do when we get excited about something. It's amazing what we can do when we get excited about Jesus. As the disciples got out of the boat, they all just stood there, glued to the resurrected and living Christ. He broke the silence and said, "Come on over, guys, and have some breakfast." As they sat there staring at Jesus, he said, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" And Jesus must have pointed over at the fish that were flopping around on the sand beside them. He said, "Do you love me more than these?" In other words, he was saying, "Do you love me more than your lucrative fishing enterprise?" Of course, Peter blurted out, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Then I want you to get out there. I want you to love and to care for and to feed my lambs." And he repeated it three times in order to cover over the three denials that Peter had made on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He wanted Peter to confirm his commitment and his faith. The third spiritual insight is this: just as Jesus provided 153 fish a hot breakfast, the gift of forgiveness to Peter and all of those disciples, he provides all of those things and meets all of our needs as well. Even the forgiveness that we all desperately need for all of those times when we deny him as well. On April the 27th, 1994, the policy of racial segregation known as apartheid ended in South Africa. A Truth and Reconciliation Commission was established by the South African government to bring healing to their troubled nation. If a person committed a crime related to apartheid, that person would not be tried for the crime, but forgiven and reconciled to society. It was an amazing expression of grace and faith and love, similar to what Jesus expressed to Peter and the disciples. Before apartheid ended, 7 young black men were killed execution style in an ambush by a group of South African soldiers. The Reconciliation Commission asked one of the young soldiers to testify about this crime. And after he finished his testimony, the 7 mothers of the slain young men who were present for his testimony were asked if they wanted to say anything, and they all chose to speak. One said, as she looked at this young soldier, "You are going to listen to our anger. Sit there and listen." And one by one, each mother told the young soldier how the death of her son had pained and terribly grieved her and her family. And when they had finished, the young soldier burst into tears, crushed by his sadness and his guilt. And then one of the mothers, looking at him, felt compassion for him. And she said, "Come here. Come here. Let me hold you. Let me forgive you. I have no son now. but I want you to become my son. Jesus calls all of us to jump out of the boat, like Peter did, swim as fast as we can to Jesus, sit at his feet in silence and in awe, receive the blessings of fish and forgiveness that only he can provide, and live with strong faith, the kind of faith that Peter and the disciples had, the kind of faith that we can have as sons and daughters of Christ. The world needs to see us living that kind of faith. The world needs to see us demonstrating that kind of good news, that kind of grace, that kind of love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.